Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of In This League War Room. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined with CK, my guy, C-O-P-I-E-P-S, on the Twitter machine for CK. And today we're going to be talking wide receivers and tight ends for this draft class. And another deep class of wide receivers. I would say, you know, probably not as good as the last couple years, but there are a ton of good ones. And tight ends, top heavy, you know, as it tends to be. It's either nothing or top heavy because tight ends take so long to develop in the NFL. But CK, let's just start with the performance first of all, the bowl games the last week have been unbelievable. But the playoff games on Saturday were insane. And, you know, we had talked about this off air last week that the, you know, kind of the line on CJ Stroud, because I had heard some people talking, you know, it seemed like Young was still number one, but people really like the upside of Levis and Richardson. And Stroud was kind of moving down the last month, but he almost single-handedly put Ohio State in the national championship game. He was unbelievable, scrambled for more yards than he ever has in his career, and kind of solidified his spot at that number two spot, don't you think?
If anything, he climbed up, got closer to Bryce Young. Now, Bryce Young looked incredible, too, in his game. Bryce Young, not in one of those playoff games, but was one more interception than one touchdown than touchdowns he had. So that's a good game for Bryce Young. But yeah, CJ Stroud, that's what we wanted to see. Could he avoid pressure? Could he make throws with guys in his face? The first half, that one play, Jalen Carter comes right up the gut. He slides to his right and finds Marvin Harrison, in the back of the end zone. That is it. And then even at the end, after Marvin Harrison got injured on the weird sort of targeting that wasn't called targeting play, CJ Stroud he's making plays with his feet. We just haven't seen that. He has 136 career rushing yards and he had 34 in this game. So that tells you where we've never seen him do that. And if he's going to offer that, even if it's just him not being a statue in the pocket, right, he doesn't have to pick up huge yards, but moving within the pocket that's huge for him. I think it solidifies him top five to me overall.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know this, sacks are counted as negative rushing yards for quarterbacks at the collegiate level. So that, you know, 136 total rushing yards includes every time he gets sacked. So, you know, the total would be much higher. I remember Joe Burrow coming out, like his actual total, if you didn't count the sack yards, would have been like 700 rushing yards. People just didn't realize he had that kind of upside, where it's not, he's never going to be a run first guy. He's just not that guy. But, you know, like when Dwayne Haskins was coming out, that guy never ran ever, like negative rushing yards, I believe, in his collegiate career, you know. And this is Ohio State, different quarterbacks, of course, same type of system, still with Ryan Day, cause you know, he was under Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer had been there for a while. So, you know, very, very, just a solidifying game for him on the national stage, which absolutely puts him, solidifies him as that, you know, I thought he was maybe sliding his way towards number four, because we're going to see Richardson and Levis in the process here, and they are both going to just dwarf him athletically. And, you know, when you don't see games and that's all you see for months and months, evaluators and people in front offices start to drool about that stuff. But before we get to the wide receivers and tight end, CK, a lot more guys declared. Do we know when the declaration deadline is for players to declare? Because it's always around the 15th, I believe. It's usually somewhere in the neighborhood.
January 16th this year.
16th.
January 16th this year. Yeah, it's usually around the middle of January that they set it. So we got another week and a half, roughly.
Exactly. So we're going to have more names, but we got a big batch after, you know, everything but the national championship has been played now. So let's go through some of the names that declared this week.
So Rashad Torrance is a corner for Florida. He's probably a day two guy. Zach Evans, we covered last week. That's the running back for Ole Miss. A.T. Perry, I mentioned during the bowl game, the big, tall wide receiver from Wake Forest, really knows how to use his body, kind of boxes guys out. Brandon Joseph, he did not play in the bowl game. He's been injured for a while. He transferred to Notre Dame as a safety, wanted to try to fill that Kyle Hamilton role. Wasn't Kyle Hamilton, probably a day two guy. Ryan Bracy, he's a big one. We're going to talk defensive players next week. He's a top 10 overall possibility. We'll come back to that one. A couple of running backs here that we talked about last week. Deuce Vaughn did declare. He had another incredible, specifically one amazing run.
God, and he got banged up and came back in. And you and I were both like, what are you doing? Come on. I didn't want him to play in that game, but I'm glad he did because he was so much fun to watch.
Speaking of fun to watch, how about Tajay Spears tearing apart USC's defense from Tulane with a big win over USC? What an awesome game.
That was enormous. Yeah, that was such a great game, too. And that kind of, that was almost a tone setter of that day. So a fun game for sure.
But he displayed everything I said, right? Like the electric. I mean, he had speed. 17 carries and he went for like over 200 yards. It's awesome. Against now USC's defense is not very good. We're going to talk about one of their very few good defenders, but it was still good to see. Lucas Van Ness, I haven't watched a lot of. I know that there's some people that are huge on Lucas Van Ness as an edge player. I got to watch him before we do defense next week. We officially heard that Bryce Young was going to the NFL. That was not surprising. Will Anderson, we'll talk about him next week. Jordan Battle is a safety for Alabama. Brian Branch is a safety for Alabama. Eli Ricks is a cornerback for Alabama. Very good players, all of them. Jamie Robinson, we mentioned he had a great bowl game. I think he had 12 tackles in that game and a few for losses, the safety from Florida State. Jonathan Mingo is a wide receiver from Ole Miss. We will not cover him today. I'm okay with Jonathan Mingo, but I don't think he's probably more than a day three guy. And then Tui Pulotu, I'm going to mess it up, led the nation in sacks this year as a defensive tackle for USC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
And the one I decided to come back to, because we didn't cover him last week. I didn't think he'd come out for the NFL draft. He's good, but that's Keaton Mitchell, the running back for East Carolina. He's kind of like Tajay Spears, right? He picks up big, very explosive player, can pick up big chunks of yards at a lower level, but I think it'll translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I like him as a runner. Now, the ECU offense is very pass heavy, so when he runs, it's almost unexpected. You know, a lot of defenses playing back on their heels because that team passes so much, but displayed incredible speed. So almost, for their team, just an all around guy. You know what I mean? So, like you said, the Tajay Spears of ECU. But the combine is going to be huge for him, I think. Speed and then, you know, those other bowl games and stuff will help as well. So lots of guys declaring, and then still another week for those guys that are waffling and still deciding. Maybe they're waiting on, to see what round the what is it called?
It's the committee. Board. I was just thinking of that too.
Committee, yeah.
Advisement committee, I think, or advisory committee.
Advisory committee, right? So what the process that these guys do is they will, if they're juniors, they will submit their name to the advisory committee, and this committee, who I mean, it's made up of former college players, former NFL, you know, evaluators and stuff like that. They all kind of put a grade in on what they think of the guy and then submit it anonymously. And then they get the average of that to see where most people think they're at. A lot of guys, if, you know, they're in round 2 to 4, they'll go. They'll go to get their money. If they're below that, a lot of time they'll stay in college, especially now that college, you can make a little money. You know, they'll stick and try to raise their draft grade. So we'll see about all that. But like I said, today we're going to talk about wide receivers and tight ends, just pass catchers in general. So let's kick it off with wideouts. Who do you have at number one? Because it's interesting. The top three, I think, are their own tier, but I'm not sure what order to put them in.
I still have Jordan Addison one. I think the NFL probably has Jordan Addison two, but I still have Jordan Addison one. I love the way that he runs his routes. If you watch Devontae Adams, he takes his time. He kind of hops off the line. Jordan Addison does that. He's the only college guy I know that does that, where he really is good at varying his pace to set up defenders, and then he just blows by him. If you saw him at Pittsburgh realized he was easily their best player, and so they found a way to just get him the ball however they could, a lot of short routes. And then he transfers to USC, gets paid some, you just talked about getting paid college money. He got paid a lot. And then at USC, they said, well, we don't need to just get him the ball in a hurry. We have Caleb Williams transferred in and go run down the field. And he could do that too. He hardly ever drops a ball. He has returned punts. I don't think they're going to ask him to do it in the NFL. He's very young. We talk about some of these guys turning 25 with receivers. He's 21 when he'll be drafted. So there's some serious development time there. The knock is going to be the same. The knock on a lot of these guys is going to be the same. And that's the size, right? There's 1.5 sort of big guys out of the top end here. And Devonta Smith is the one that's going to get compared to Jordan Addison. Now, Devonta Smith has been awesome in the NFL. I don't think they could ask anything more of what Devonta Smith has offered the Eagles. And so I think Jordan Addison can do that too. I think 6'1", 175 is what he's going to be listed at. That's basically what Devonta Smith was, and he's having success.
I have less worry about size when it comes to wideouts. Now, you know, look, some of these guys get cracked going over the middle, and their small frame doesn't help there. And I think that's what the worry is on guys like Marquise Brown and Devonta Smith, like the just really slender builds. You know, I mean, Devonta has the nickname of Slim Reaper, right? And just in terms of a wide receiver, I'm with you. I don't think it's a question that the best pure wideout in this class is Addison. It's not really a question. He is. But the number two guy here, Quentin Johnston from TCU, athletically, I think, is also unmatched. So tell us a little bit about Quentin Johnston, who you'll be able to see again on Monday in the national title game, because TCU advanced and he had some big plays for them.
Yeah, if you saw the game, he took the third quarter. I think he took a short slant that quarter that scored like 50 points.
Yeah.
He took a short little drag, and then his thing was he got the ball in his hand, he slowed down, and then he just exploded by these guys. And at 6'4", 215, he is the one wide receiver that you look at this top end and say, okay, he's big, right? He is what we want when we look at the prototypical wide receiver, because 6'4", 215, and he's fast. He's probably the second fastest of this top tier. At 6'4", 215, he has a huge catch radius. Max Duggan's fun to watch. He's not the most accurate guy. Quentin Johnston pulls in off-target passes all the time. The knock on him, he doesn't run a lot of routes. Even that one, right? It's a drag. They just tell him, run across the field, run away from the cornerback who's guarding you, be bigger, be more physical, and he does it. He runs up the field. He runs a stop route. He runs a slant or a drag. That's basically all they ask him to do, and he can dominate college cornerbacks doing that. He can, but he can also have games where is he? He had 5 games this year under 50 yards. That shouldn't happen when you're that big, that physical. But if you're just targeting ceiling of any of the receivers in this draft, it's Quentin Johnston. He's at his size with his speed capability. You can shoot for the moon and say, what can we get? Could we get AJ Brown out of Quentin Johnston? Yeah, you could. Could you get Stephen Hill out of Quentin Johnston? Yeah, you could. It's kind of a, there is a very Kevin high White. Ceiling, a very yeah. low floor.
Right, right. Kevin White is the guy I think Kevin of White. When I think of guys like with size that everyone wanted to compare to Larry Fitzgerald, and then it just didn't work out, you know. But I don't, Quentin Johnston to me feels very DK Metcalf-ish. I don't know if he's going to be as stiff. You know, I know that that was a big knock on DK coming out, which I love to bring up because I hate some of these hand measurements and three cone drills and just things you're never going to do on the field that I don't know that they matter as much, but teams like to see him because they like to know about athleticism. All you need to see is him go up and body a defensive back and then run past everybody else to know it's in there. Can he develop the nuance? Because that's what Addison already has. Addison already has nuance. And he may not have the speed or the size of Quentin Johnston, but he has the nuance. He has the hard part is done for him. The hard part for Quentin Johnston is he has dominated with his size and speed. Now he has to translate that to the NFL. So he has to learn the harder part coming in at the elite level, which can have some struggles. But I just think that you see the success of guys like Pittman and London, you know, those big frame. DK Metcalf's another example of just those big frame guys that succeed. And they have that type of top end speed. I think it's more to me, I worry more about the guys that have like really no speed at all. And you know, they have to win the 50-50 balls. N'Keal Harry is an example of that, you know, perfect example because he dominated in college, right? Going up against 5'10", 5'8" corners, but
they had to scheme him touches though. Like they don't scheme Quentin Johnston touches. And that's what you see. And you mentioned N'Keal Harry, right? He doesn't separate in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. He does not separate at all, but Quentin Johnston with the size and speed, I think he is going to be the number one wide receiver off the board. A lot like we saw Drake London last year. So the third guy was a surprise to announce that he is going to the NFL, as we talked about before. And Kayshon Boutte, definitely in this tier, I think, of wide receivers that will probably go in the first, unless he just bombs in his meetings in his combine. But very interesting player. Tell us about Boutte.
So Kayshon Boutte's freshman season was, I think, the most productive freshman season in the history of the SEC, which is saying something. That was the year that Ja'Marr Chase opted out for the COVID year, and Kayshon Boutte filled in and looked awesome. And then the next year he came out in the first half of the season. He looked incredible. And then he broke his ankle and didn't play the rest of last year. And then this year it was just mediocre on the field. He didn't always look engaged. The quarterback play, Jaden Daniels, looked better than I think I thought, but it wasn't up to the standards that we've seen out of Joe Burrow, for example, at LSU. Kayshon Boutte has great hands. The throws aren't there. He can make catches. He's very good along the sidelines. And then once he gets, because there's really three parts to playing wide receiver, right? There's before the pass is thrown, the route running. There's the ball is coming to you. Can you catch it? And then there's, you got the ball in your hands. Can you pick up yards afterwards? When he has the ball in his hands, he looks like a running back. He will eat up people he's very physical. He can run you over, but he can also make people miss. It's very impressive when he has the ball in his hands. Now, getting the ball in his hands.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! He has like concentration drops, especially when he is so big and physical that usually there's nobody near him. But when someone is near him and they're able to body up on him, he'll drop the ball sometimes. That'll be part of the knock on him is, say he's at the combine and he's catching balls when nobody's guarding him. I think he's going to do just fine there. But if someone's right up in his face, can he focus on the ball enough? And you mentioned the interviews. That's going to be huge for him because they're going to ask
him. The thing that I don't like is the crybaby nonsense. You know,
yeah, and that's it, right? We saw him pull off the LSU. He was speculated to transfer all offseason to Alabama, was mentioned a lot, and he didn't. Okay. And then, but he'd pull off his social media, he'd pull all the LSU stuff off, and then he'd re-add it. And then he'd sort of quit on the team. And then he was going to go back to LSU here. And then he decided to clear up for the NFL draft. And now there's rumors that he was kicked out of LSU. So it's just a matter of what's going on between his ears, right?
Right.
And if he's, if
how
he
much do you
that,
care about football? That's the thing, is that, you know, you can be dominant and the best wide receiver ever. I mean, Jerry Rice, best wide receiver ever, was always fearful of getting cut and not being able to play. That's why he played till he was 150. So, you know, Kayshon Boutte is a different breed, you know, and I don't know, man. You know, I know every wide receiver does it and they all have the kind of crybaby attitude, but you just don't, we're not hearing it at this level too many times about being a crybaby, and he's already one. So it super annoys me. But I mean, physically, the guy's gifted. You just wonder how much is it between the years of him giving up on the team and then the ankle injury slowing him down before that. If that is it, then, you know, you add him to the Cardinals where all they do is throw the ball, or any team that is very pass heavy. Great. But if you draft him to Baltimore and you're asking him to block, or Atlanta and you're asking him to block, he's going to be a crybaby about it.
Yep. So he'll whine about that.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got to go to a place that's fairly pass heavy, you know, to keep him engaged and all that stuff. And so he's definitely the biggest question mark, but the dominance that he's had, I think, puts him in this range. He would really have to sink the other stuff. So the big question, CK, is who's in the next tier and how the hell do you separate them? Because I mean, and is that the end of your first tier? I guess I should ask first, is there anybody else that goes in there? And then separating the rest of these guys, I think, is somewhat difficult.
So the first three that we mentioned, Addison, Johnston, and Boutte, I have as A tier. Like, those are possible alpha wide receivers, right? Like, you could tell me you're getting an all pro out of any one of those three. The next tier is three guys, and they could all be very good too, but they all have, mostly it's size concerns, and then it's 1 year production. Well, one of them has 2 years, but two of them only have 1 year of production. So let's start with Jackson Smith and Jigba. So it was the dominant sophomore season, the Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba season. And then this year he didn't play. I think it was a hip injury is what we kept hearing all year. I may be wrong on what the injury was, but he has not played all year with an injury. But when he played, he's amazing at just finding zones. He's so good and smooth. He's not particularly athletic. He's not going to test out like Boutte or Quentin Johnston or Jordan Addison. He's not probably going to run that fast. He will not tear up the three cone drill you mentioned. He's not going to do any of that. He's just the smooth one of the group. A technician is what you're going to hear him, because he's not an exceptional athlete, but get him the ball. He was at the Rose Bowl last year. He had 300 yards receiving. Oh, so that tells you how good he was.
And still one of the best collegiate catches I've ever seen in my life. His very first touchdown back on the back end of the line. I don't know if you remember this, but like, the refs initially waved it off. They're like, no, he didn't catch that. And you play, you go to the replay. He gets 1 foot just barely in. And I mean, like, by the grace of God, Charles Rogers had one of those as well, where he had 1 foot down, caught the ball falling out of the back of the end zone, and three guys hit him. Like, those are the two, you know, Jahan Dotson had a one-handed catch that everyone saw the replay for. A lot of amazing catches. I mean, Justin Jefferson against the Bills this year, maybe the best catch I've ever seen in my life. But that the Jackson Smith and Jigba has one of those. And when I think route tactician, technician, however you want to say it, one of those guys, Brandon Ayuk is the guy that comes to my mind. So, you know, I don't know if there's a comp or if they're similar at all, but when I hear that, you know, just the way a guy runs a route, he can run a defensive back off of him, just by, you know, being able to fake him out, Ayuk is the guy that I think of.
That's a good one. I was probably a little heavier than Jackson Smith and Jig. Jackson Smith and Jig is pretty rail thin. If you've seen him, he's pretty thin. I'm not sure. I can check and see what I have him actually listed at here on my spreadsheet. Jackson Smith and Jigba is listed at 198, maybe 6 foot tall. I don't know if he's going to weigh, if he's going to be 6 foot tall either. And then because they had Olave and Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba is almost exclusively a slot receiver at this point. And so they would put him in motion and nobody would bump him. And even in the college football playoff, we saw some of these receivers struggle to get off that. Marvin Harrison Jr. did not, but Emeka Ibuka really struggled, I thought, to get off of press coverage from Georgia receivers. So, or Georgia cornerbacks. That's going to be a question on Jackson Smith and Jigba too. Is he physical enough to get off press coverage? Could he go in the first round? I think so. I think he could, but I could also see him going early day two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
My next one is actually Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt, 1 year, incredibly productive this season for Tennessee. 67 catches, 1,267 yards, and 15 touchdowns. He kind of took over from Cedric Tillman, who we'll talk about, but he's a very different receiver. He is, if there's somebody who's going to outrun Quentin Johnston, it's Jalin Hyatt. I think he probably outruns Quentin Johnston. He's got a chance to be sub 4.3, which is really fast for 40-yard dash time. But big question is, once again, is it Tennessee's spread offense or is it him? Because he's another one, 6 foot, 180 pounds. That's really small. And another one, almost exclusively a slot receiver. So he doesn't have to get off press coverage. Instead, it's kind of just run down the field. And he uses that speed to separate. He catches the ball and then he just runs with it. And it works. I think that there's teams that will be able to use Jalin Hyatt's abilities will get a very good receiver. But it doesn't mean that I trust any team to draft Jalin Hyatt and just put him in their offense.
Yeah, I think... you could say this about Jackson Smith and Jigba too. You want these guys to go where there's an established one already, you know, to take coverage off of these guys. So they get one-on-one opportunities. So they don't have to fight through doubles and things like that, or, you know, really, you know, be determined on nuance immediately because they didn't have a lot of it. They, you know, you have a lot of speed. Which is fantastic. But who's number three on this list? I'm curious to see which guy you put here.
The last one
I know who I like.
The last one I have in that tier is Josh Downs. Josh Downs is so productive as a college wide receiver. He's had over 1,000 yards the last couple of years. Now that's with two different quarterbacks. So Sam Howell, who we're going to get to see this Sunday, apparently some, not starting, but apparently some play time. Ooh. And then you're not ready for Sam Howell.
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Like, I don't know why they're starting Taylor Heinicke. Just play Sam Howell. Alvin, that's what I don't.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, like, what was the point of going back to Carson Wentz? I mean, it just aggravates me. You know,
yeah. But then he didn't even know that they missed the playoffs. Did you see that? Did you see that Ron Rivera didn't realize until afterwards, you know, they were officially eliminated?
I understand that. Like, the guy is preparing for the week. I don't think he's not sitting out there working out every single scenario. I think he's trying to win, and he's old. You know, compared to other NFL QBs. Yeah, I just don't. I'm more questioned. I don't really care that he didn't know that they could get eliminated because he's just trying to win. I care that he put in Carson Wentz. What the hell are you doing? You bench the guy for a reason. You don't bring him back just because Heinicke struggles. You got to, you know, it's such indecisiveness. I hate it. Like, why is Sam Howell going to play but not start this game? You know, you've already been eliminated. You're not making the playoffs. So just throw Sam Howell in and see what he's got, you know. But anyway, we're talking about Josh Downs. Yeah. We're talking about Josh Downs. Sorry.
We are talking about Josh Downs.
Yeah.
Josh Downs, Josh Downs is not big either. Josh Downs listed at 5'10", 180. And he's the one that I can see Jackson Smith and Jigba being physical enough. He's not going to be someone that you want catching, you know, double covered balls, but Josh Downs does not want to play physical at all. He really, you have to find a way to design him touches. He gets a lot of very short throws, and then he's excellent with the ball in his hands. I think he will definitely get a chance to return punts and kicks in the NFL, and I think he'll be pretty good at it because he makes people miss. He's very good at that, and he has great contact balance. As far as somebody does hit him, he kind of bounces off of him. Josh Downs, another one, probably going to get him into the right scheme. You mentioned Brandon Ayuk. I think Josh Downs is a little more Brandon Ayuk. It's just tinier as far as the ability to pick up yards after the catch. But I don't really trust Josh Downs to be my one receiver either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think the next guy on the list is my guy. That's the guy that I put in this tier.
Okay. Well, the next guy on my list is Rashee Rice. He would start the next tier for me. Rashee Rice is the one that's got...
Not him. Sorry. The next guy after him. Sorry. Ooh. Zay Flowers is my guy.
Okay. I'm talking to Zay Flowers first. Well, Zay Flowers.
Yeah, let's do Zay. Yeah,
so Zay Flowers is going to the Shrine Bowl. Zay Flowers is awesome. I love the call. So Zay Flowers, great year this year. Phil Jerkovic, who's since transferred, I don't remember where, but quarterback, 78 catches, 1,077 yards, 12 touchdowns. You just get the ball in Zay Flowers' hands and you let him go. Kind of like Josh Downs. You just get the ball to him. What?
Jerkovic went to
Pitt. Oh, Jerkovic, that's right, to replace Keaton Slovis. Yep.
Yeah.
Zay Flowers, the thing that I like about Zay Flowers is, once again, not a big guy, 5'10", 172, but unlike Jalin Hyatt or Jackson Smith and Jigba, they ask him to play outside at the flanker position. It's not just a slot option, and he will go down the field and catch passes. This is not someone that you have to scheme catches to like those two. He will actually do things. Now, he has too many drops. He's got to work on his hands. They can do that. The NFL, these are coaches that need to do that. He has 24 drops in his career. That's a lot for college.
He kind of reminds me of Deontay because he can work.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Work inside, he can work outside. Deontay's more of an outside guy, but coming in at Toledo, they'd move him in all around. And he'll make the acrobatic catch. He'll make the weird catch. He's the only show at Boston College, right? Outside of the running backs. So... he was their main guy and everyone knew what was coming and he still got the ball. It's not like some of these other guys, you know, you mentioned Jackson Smith and Jigba.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Incredible athlete, one of the best. I mean, highly recruited, all that stuff. But you just don't know because he had Wilson and Olave with him. So he was always wide open. Zay didn't have anybody to take pressure off of him. He still went out there and made plays, which makes him just more, a little more for sure than the other guys, in my opinion. So
I think there's a chance if Zay Flowers goes to the Shrine Bowl, which I was surprised he went to the Shrine Bowl, not the Senior Bowl, but if he goes to the Shrine Bowl and then he goes through the whole combine process, and I think there's a chance he could sneak into the very back end of the first round.
Yeah.
But I would expect day two, but I would expect a pretty productive receiver right away out of Zay Flowers. Like you said, he's dealt with everything, right? At Boston College. It's not like they didn't scheme him open and he was dealing with double teams, whereas a lot of these guys barely deal with single coverage, right?
Right, exactly. That's why he's just more proven. He's more of a sure commodity, although I don't think he has the upside of Jackson Smith and Jigba and guys like that. He definitely he has a very, very high floor already.
Let's talk Rashee Rice here, the next one in the next tier. Now, he is more of the typical wide receiver measurables that you want to see, 6'2", 203, and Southern Methodist starting to produce quite a few NFL wide receivers here. I'm not sure he's Courtland Sutton, but I think he's probably right below Courtland Sutton as best NFL prospects. He does just fine. People around him, I talked about how some of these guys struggle. Even Kayshon Boutte struggles when there's cornerbacks up in his grill. Rashee Rice doesn't faze him. He'll snag the ball right out of it. Now, once again, not a guy who's ever been asked to run the route tree. SMU's air raid offense, they throw the ball all the time. They ask him to run a lot of just drags and across the middle slants. But otherwise, doesn't really run up the field. That'll be something you have to coach up there. he's not going to run as fast as even Zay Flowers or Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Quentin Johnston, not even close. He's probably not going to be a big burner. But as long as he doesn't run David Bell's speed, I think he's probably got a pretty good chance to go day two.
I think so. I think he's a for sure day two. And as you mentioned before, not a lot of size in this class. So if you're looking for size, you know, as long as he measures and weighs in at, you know, all this, and we find out that he's not a 5'11 and three quarters, it's listed at 6'2 or whatever. I don't think he is. I think he is 6'2. Then, you know, the options are few and far between in this class in terms of size. So I think he'll get drafted maybe a little bit higher than we expect because someone wants to reach for a little size.
Well, the next guy is not the person that you're reaching for to draft either then if you're going for size, because Marvin Mims is not a big wide receiver, but watch him play. Now, you compare Marvin Mims at, I have him at 5'11", 179, to, say, Josh Downs, who's 5'10", 180. Marvin Mims looks twice as big the way he plays. Just watch the dude block on some of those outside zones. He just wants to get in there and level guys. And he's good. Big play receiver. He's averaged over 20 yards per catch combined the last couple seasons. They throw him the ball down the field, and he will go up and get it at his size. Another one. Definitely going to carve out a special teams role in the NFL. And his play that you want to watch him on is if you watch him sell a double move, right? He fakes the slant. He's very good at slowing his pace, getting people to think that he's trying to box him out, and then he'll just explode up the field. He almost never drops the ball, but at his size, you really want someone really quick. I'm not sure he's that quick. He's fast, but he's not going to, Zay Flowers is going to be faster than Marvin Mims. I feel pretty confident in saying that, but I think Marvin Mims is just a very good receiver who's probably going to go day two too.
I like Mims a decent amount. I mean, I can't,
as an Oklahoma guy,
say that I love him coming out of Oklahoma, but look, come on. I was still the guy on CeeDee Lamb.
That's right.
Way more than a lot of people were too, even though Lamb was kind of a can't miss prospect, but you know, there were questions about him. I didn't have him. I watched him torch, you know, Texas too many times to question CeeDee Lamb. Mims is a guy that, I think I heard them talking about him on an Oklahoma broadcast before. It was kind of like, this guy was a little bit of an afterthought with, you know, some of the big time recruits that they brought in and everything, but he kept winning the job against bigger recruits every single year. He's gritty. Like you said, he'll go in and throw a block. So he's going to get drafted day two, I think almost for sure, just because you have a moldable wide receiver who already has shown off some things with an effort guy, you know, very Tyler Lockett-ish coming into the league. So a guy that's going to do the dirty work for you. You already know that. You're not questioning that motor at all whatsoever. Not like Kayshon Boutte. And, you know, he's going to come in and he can produce for you if you put him in that wide receiver role. So I'm excited to see where he ends up. I think that's a Baltimore guy. Right there.
That is a good Baltimore one. Yeah.
That's a special teams. That's a Devin Duvernay, you know, mm-hmm. type of, let's get a, you know, a guy that's more quick than fast, but also, you know, can play the slot, and he's going to block because you have to block if you're a wide receiver in Baltimore. So
that'd be an awesome fit because they need a big play receiver to open up some space underneath for him. But we'll get to them and we talk about needs in a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk Parker Washington. He's a punt returner. He's a very strangely built wide receiver compared to what we've talked about here. He's 5'10 also, but he's 207. He's more of the stout, like underneath slot option, whereas these other ones are more thin underneath or thin slot options who can get over the top. Parker Washington's wide receiver numbers won't wow you. 3 career 100-yard games. He's never had 900 yards in a season playing for Penn State. Now, that's a team that runs the ball a lot, and even Jahan Dotson, other than 1 year, didn't have huge numbers there. But I think people thought that Parker Washington was going to step in and just replace the production from Jahan Dotson, and it didn't happen. So that'll be a knock on him. He's also been not played since the middle of November. And I looked even to doing this to see, has there ever been an update on what he actually missed time with? And it still just says undisclosed. So I don't know if he was just slightly nicked and he said, I'm getting ready to go to the NFL. Please don't play me. I'm not really sure what's wrong with Parker Washington, but because he plays from the slot, you want guys who can get like separate underneath on the route running, and he doesn't do it. He doesn't get open enough because of his route running. But when you have a frame like that, and he has excellent hands, like he makes some ridiculous catches on film. So if you have a frame 5'10", 207, and the way the NFL uses these guys where slot receiver who can also sort of run the ball, I think that the NFL might try to find a creative ways to get Parker Washington the ball.
There's a lot of teams, you know, using motion and stuff like that, pre-snap, you know, drawing up short routes for those guys or even handing it off to them. Kansas City, we see doing a lot of push passes and things like that. I think KC would be, you know, a good spot for him because you already have Travis Kelce opening up the middle for you. So, you know, Juju has done a pretty good job of that, but, you know, somebody might drop a bunch of money on Juju with the wide receiver class. The wide receiver free agents being a little weak this year. So, I mean, I imagine he'd want to go back to KC, but, you know, they're up against the cap too. So, potential for potentially KC as a fit for a guy that can get open over the middle, but is not going to burn anyone. Doesn't matter because Kelsey's taken the best defender off the play anyway.
Let's talk about a guy that you many people may not have heard of, even if you're a college football fan, and that's Andre Yoshivis. Now, Andre Yoshivis is a Princeton wide receiver, so the easy comparison here is big, fast, going to be Christian Watson, right? Because that's lower receivers who are playing up. Now, finding film is hard. I found some. He has the fastest 60-meter time in the NCAA history for a heptathlete, which I'm not entirely sure what that is. I know it's a track thing and it's got 10 events, but because of that, he was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. And they said, you know, he's probably going to run in the 4.3s. I watched him. I don't know. He pulls ahead of the guys that he's against, but he looks like he's going to, in order to run a fast 40 time, you have to be so explosive, right? You have to get off the blocks in a hurry. And he looks, when he gets going, he's got huge strides and he eats up space, but I don't think he's going to start fast enough to run something like that.
Troutman duped me with some Ivy League play too. He was at Wood Dayton. I think so. And watching some of his film, I'm like, this is Gronk. This guy's unbelievable. But, you know, it's guys that are going to be plumbers or whatever that he's playing against. It's not, even highly recruited collegiate athletes. It's, you know, probably you're not even plumbers, probably more lawyers and accountants and stuff like that in the Ivy League, you know? So, watching the film is tough. We'll have to see what he runs, which I generally don't particularly like, but once again, this is a size, depressed draft. So if this guy runs a fast 40, looks good out there, doing stuff, he dominates. Is he in one of the bowl games?
He's going to be in the Senior Bowl. That's okay. Behind Tyson Badgett. That's probably the person I want to see the most. Tyson Badgett we talked about. That's the quarterback from Shepherd. Andre Yoshivis playing for the Senior Bowl. If he goes out, I mean, at this time last year, we were talking Christian Watson's kind of an interesting pick in the midday, probably early day three, right? And then he dominated the Senior Bowl all week, dominated the Senior Bowl and ended up being picked early in the second round.
I mean, Calvin Johnson comparisons on his RAS score, so relative athletic score, for those of you that are unfamiliar. So, it's one of those guys that, you know, you show up and you dominate that. People are going to look at you. I mean, Claypool did the same thing, you know, big dude. He went to Notre Dame, of course, so a little bit more fervor around him. But yeah, Watson did it last year as well. So if he does measure up, runs very, very fast and does the drills well, he's going to boost himself up, you know, without even the play, you know, even if the play is not great at the Senior Bowl or average or whatever they say. If he has those crazy scores at the combine, someone loves measurables, probably the Raiders, and will still end up taking him. So,
and that we'll see how that works out with whoever they're going to get to play quarterback. Jarrett Stidham here. Now we're in. Cedric Tillman. This is the other wide receiver for Tennessee. So we talked Jalin Hyatt. That's the fast one. Cedric Tillman is the big body one. But Cedric Tillman's big year was not this year, the year before. This year, he only made six seasons. Then it was ankle injuries. And then they just kept saying precautions with his ankle. And then eventually he opted out of the bowl game. So it's once again, it's another guy, really just one season of production. Now he's got the typical wide receiver frame, 6'3", 215, and he uses it. He's very good at using his big frame, big wingspan, will catch the ball away from his body. But he's not the one. If you want a downfield threat, this isn't it. This is your possession receiver underneath. You try to get the ball to him, slants, he catches 5-6 catches underneath, and he can turn it into 60-ish yards. You're not going to ask him to stretch the field for you, just like Jalin Hyatt, because they play at Tennessee. He's not been asked to run the route tree. He's going to need some route running work to refine that. is somebody that's going to need some coaching up, but I could see Cedric Tillman carving out a productive NFL career, but I don't think he's ever going to be a star.
And at least a guy that is that runs outside, you got to deal with press coverage a little bit. So he's probably ahead of Hyatt in that terms of, you know, being able to at least one-on-one a guy and get past him. So a little bit more, but not as gifted athletically as Hyatt, obviously. So like you said, if Hyatt runs below a 4.3, I mean, he'd probably go day one. So
probably will. Xavier Hutchinson, kind of like Cedric Tillman. Big frame, 6'3", 210, so 5 pounds difference. Another one we're going to get to see at the Senior Bowl. He has just steadily gotten better every year at Iowa State. He steadily gets better. I compared him to Kendre Miller, who got hurt for TCU. I said last week when we were talking running backs, he's good but not great. He just does everything well. He just doesn't excel at anything, and that's kind of what Xavier Hutchinson is to me. 6'3", 210. He's not a super speed profile guy, but he's going to be faster than Cedric Tillman at that size, I think. I think he's fast enough. He's another one, just like Zay Flowers you talked about. There is not a whole lot of questions at Iowa State other than who's going to get the ball other than Xavier Hutchinson for the last couple of years. And he still got the ball. He still got open. He got off press coverage. He's just solid at the NFL level, I think.
This is more of an overall question, but do you think the lack of success from like Hakeem Butler coming out of Iowa State with size, do you think that hurts Hutchinson, or do you think people aren't thinking about that?
I don't know. I was a big Hakeem Butler guy too.
Me too.
But
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey! I just saw you got drafted for the AFL, for the XFL or one of those.
Oh, did he
leagues.
Really?
I think so. I don't know if it'll knock him. It's been a few years, but because didn't Alan Lazard's an Iowa State guy too. So,
yeah.
For every Hakeem Butler, you get a good one too.
You're right.
So it might, but you know, if he goes out and he does at the Senior Bowl what he's done for his whole 4-year career, I don't think people will think too much about Hakeem Butler's being terrible for the Cardinals.
All right. So now I ask you the question, is Hutchinson closer to Hakeem Butler or Alan Lazard?
I'll say Alan Lazard. I think he's better. I think he's more Alan Lazard than Hakeem Butler. Hakeem Butler just wasn't.
He was all size.
He couldn't separate,
six?
Right? It's the same thing. I don't care. You can be that tall, but if you can't get past a cornerback, like if you still have cornerbacks on top of you, it doesn't matter. Like if they're still right on top
Butler
of you.
Butler should have been used like Isaiah Likely. He should have been a tight end.
Darren Waller. Darren Waller was a wide receiver at Georgia Tech, right? He transferred over and played tight end, and now he's great when he's not injured all season. Thank you for all my fantasy teams for I've had a lot of Darren Waller this year.
Well, at least you're not bitter about it, so that's good.
That's right, exactly. Let's talk a tiny, probably the smallest wide receiver in this draft, and that is Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell. He plays for Houston. Incredibly productive. 109 receptions, just shy of 1,400 yards, 17 touchdowns. He plays everywhere. At that size, he's not just a slot option. They'll ask him to play outside. They will ask him to play in the slot, and they will line him up as running back. You just get the guy in the he's one that when you get the ball in his hands, he makes things happen. He's kind of like Deuce Vaughn in that respect at his size. Painfully small, 155 pounds, and he plays like it. He does not play big at all. If you can get your hands on him, you can bounce him off your routes. He will get bumped off his routes often. But if you miss on the bump, like he's gone. He's going to get past you, and he's going to take it to the house a lot of ways. You're just going to have to scheme ways to get this guy the ball. We've seen it. This is the Tutu Atwell. This is the Kelvin Austin on Pittsburgh, where if you can get this guy the ball, he can make something happen. But you can't just ask him to run a typical route tree. It's not going to work.
Yeah, guys like this are tough because it's so productive at Houston. You see it and you go, oh, man, this is where I do get concerned about size. You know what I mean? And it's not so much the height. I don't really care about height. Deuce Vaughn is going to come in at 5'5", and he can be an NFL running back. But 150.